I'd like for you, if you would, I've asked Luke to come and read our scripture and light our candle for our final Sunday of Advent and to emphasize what the candle is. So, Luke.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
This was, or is, the Christ candle, the final Sunday when the birth of Jesus is proclaimed. And we begin this morning with some thoughts on Christmas itself. You know, we all prepare for Christmas with eager expectation. I don't know how you are, but we're always doing something last minute. We got a lot of things to do this afternoon because we've got all the family coming in this year. My two children coming in at different times, one from Connecticut and one from South Carolina. We've got my wife's children, my stepchildren. They'll be coming in tomorrow afternoon. And so, you know, just so many things that we have to plan for and so many things that we save for the last minute. We're better at that than even the people who are last-minute tax procrastinators. But I do believe that there is still anticipation of great things every Christmas. I don't know of a single Christmas that I've ever been through that I didn't expect something special out of that Christmas. Even this Christmas, I've just lost my mom, but yet this is a special Christmas. It is a Christmas when we really relook at the meaning of Christmas. Whenever you've lost a parent or you've lost someone, you do look at things a little differently. And so this Christmas, we're going to look at things differently. All of us will look forward to things like watching someone open our present that we spent a long time trying to come up with. I failed this year with my wife because I knew nothing of what to get her. But when we went shopping, she said, "I'd love to have that." I said, "You want that? You get that." And so I got that, and she wrapped her own present. This is how a husband who is befuddled does it. And then we went somewhere else, and she said, "You know, when I do my sewing, that would be great." I said, "You want that?" She said, "Yeah, that would be." I said, "Christmas? Yes." I went and got it. So this year is not all that surprising, but we do like to look, have our children and that childlike excitement of anticipation of what it might be in that package. Christmas brings us into the realm of childlike faith. We see and hear so many children's stories of Grinches and Scrooges and Santas and reindeer and Toyland and elves and wishes and gifts and, yes, even miracles, that it is a time of excitement and hope and joy. I've heard from so many this Christmas as I watched television, went and saw a movie. I listened to different thoughts on Christmas, and the philosophical interpretations of the real Christmas were interesting this Christmas. Like, Christmas is the season for families. Christmas is the season for fantasy. Christmas is the season for caring. Christmas is a season for love. Christmas is the season for forgiveness. Christmas is the season for giving, and that's probably the one I've heard the most. Well, that's true in many aspects. Some say Christmas is the lyrics of its own music. I want to just share with you one that I like, but I looked at closer. The song is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. And the thing that will make them ring is the carols that you sing right within your heart. One of my favorites, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. There is so much in those songs if you listen to them, and all of it points to a special time when we do things in a special way because of the season. But I think most people miss the point. It's why we even have Christmas that is the point. For without the knowledge of the roots and the foundation of Christmas, it is merely a merry bump in the road, a time when everything seems a bit more tolerable, and yes, even joyous. So let me redirect everyone listening to my voice. Christmas was started as a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord, period. Christmas was started as a celebration, as a Christ Mass. Now, the Catholics call it their worship of a particular type of worship, a Mass. So it was Christmas, and changed to shortened to Christmas. You see, the birth of Christ child did something to change all of mankind for eternity. No matter what background you come from, or the culture that you come from, or the religion that you hold as a family, Jesus was more than a message and a messenger of peace. He was the Prince of Peace. He was more than the son of a son of God. He was the Son of God. He was more than a political figure. The government was on his shoulders. He was more than a religious icon. Jesus was the spark, the light of lights that would illuminate the dark landscape that is around us. When Jesus came, there was little hope. There was then in him newfound hope, a future, and there was love in its purest form. This past week, I went to see Star Wars and The Last Jedi. And some of you know that, you know, I don't hold to those teachings. And I am not espousing that. Although I went for entertainment's sake and I enjoyed it. I do not believe in Jedis and I do not believe God is in everything. I'm not polytheistic. But I want you to understand that I did hear a couple of things that I wanted to share with you this morning. I wanted to digress a little bit and just point out this. First of all, it was a dark time, and the dark side seemed to rule. As a matter of fact, even those who were seemingly on the light side were walking in darkness. Leia said, "The galaxy has lost its soul. The spark is gone." I don't know how many of you have ever felt that way, but I think in times all of us get to the point that we go, has America lost its soul? Where is the spark of Christ in this culture? Where is the spark of God in the darkness that we walk in? And I think that we all come to that point at some time. But then some feel like, well, Christmas gives us hope. And what is the hope in? Well, Christmas gives us the hope that there is more in mankind than the darkness we tend to see. And so people get excited about Christmas and the hope at Christmas because they see people actually giving and not taking. Darkness is not as prevalent. The spark is there. I know that there are many that are Christians even, though, that look around us and we begin to say, except for these times of Christ in the church and in the Christmas, I don't see much light. I see a lot of darkness. I don't know. This past week was sort of, week before last, as they came out with the numbers, the number one killer in North Carolina now is opioid addiction and the cause of death from that. This past year, 61,000 people in America died from opioid-related deaths. This is a totally new area, and it's grave darkness in our country. We no longer see the reverence and respect for the things of God in our country. Rebellion against His word and His teachings are rampant in our streets. We are asked to teach our children things that they will surely see in public that we never faced when we were growing up. We must feel today as the people of Zebulun and Naphtali, who saw themselves walking in darkness, in a great darkness, and needing a light. But it says in the scriptures, we have seen a great light. It only took one small, tiny spark to bring light to a very dark world. Now, I know most of us think of the time when Jesus was born romantically as a beautiful time and a great time. Think back with me a little bit. When was the last prophet that we had that led for God and was a sounding board for God on the earth before Jesus came? 400 years before Jesus. There was a 400-year gap of darkness. There was a 400-year period of time when the religious became internalized and there was nothing going out, and seemingly people didn't hear from God. There was great darkness. And it was during this time that Jesus sought to come. And that one spark transformed the entire country, the universe, the entire way that we look at things. Because before Christ, it's BC. Before Christ. AD is after Christ's birth. But I want you, some people don't understand that. It's Anno Domini. Anno Domini means in the year of our Lord. And therefore, AD is the time after Christ's birth. So we live in the day of our Lord. And all of the years are numbered there. Everything that we have has been numbered from the time of that spark of life, that light that came. But it was not just that one spark. Jesus gave that one spark to 10 others. and they to 10 others, and they to 10 others. And that spark began to transform the globe that we now understand as Earth. The galaxy has lost its soul. The spark is gone. I don't think so. As dark as you might think your life is, as dark as you might think this planet is, as dark as you might think these times are, I believe that the spark never will go out. The spark of Jesus never goes out. It's light for eternity. It's with us eternally. I can't imagine having lived through that 400 years when there was no possibility, no hope. But the hope came in the birth of Jesus Christ. There was another quote from Star Wars that I want to talk about. We are not called to walk in darkness. We're called to walk in His light. And most of you say, how can we walk in His light? How do we walk in the light of Christ in a time of darkness? And I want you to understand that it is simple, but it's not easy. One of the quotes from a young warrior, it was a young girl, she said this in Star Wars, "We will not win this war by fighting what we hate, but by saving what we love." And I sat there and went, whoa. And I was in a dark theater. I said, where is my book? And I pulled out my book and I started trying to write. It was the biggest mess you ever seen in the darkness. But I got home and I figured it out. But it is, we will not win this war by fighting what we hate, but by saving what we love. Hear me. Christ spark, Christ love, Christ hope for this generation, Christ hope for your family, Christ hope for you is in this. That we save that spark, that we save that light to share with others. It is our love. Our great love is Jesus Christ. Our love is salvation in Jesus Christ. And to save it means to share it. I want you to know that as we share our love in Christ with others, and I don't just mean love people and they sort of halfway try to figure out why you love them, but I mean to share with them, I am loving you because Christ first loved me. And as we share that love of Jesus Christ with others, we are saving the light. We're not really called. You know, I've struggled with how do I address certain issues. We're not really called to attack issues. We're not called to attack people. We're not called to attack what we hate. We are called to build up and to advocate and to share what we love. This Christmas, I think the biggest message is there is a lack of hope in so many people's lives, but hope is found in Jesus. And until people need come to Jesus and find Jesus, they will have no hope. There is no spark in their life. And they will come to Christmases and look at people and say, there's hope, there's hope. And then Christmas is over and they go, oh, we're back to the same old thing again. The hope is not in a time when we all feel close or we all come together or we all share. The hope is in a person and His name is Jesus of Nazareth. I want to encourage you to share Jesus this Christmas. I have been so interested in seeing how people deal with Christmas, how they share Christmas. And there are so many Christians who have the belief that I need to share my love with people. I need to share gifts with people. My grandson wrote a little thing that my daughter put on Facebook, and he these are the things that you're supposed to do, and they were all perfectly good. I was proud of him. One thing I think we need to teach our children, but it is all in sharing Jesus, because none of it makes sense outside of Jesus. None of it has true hope without Jesus. No gift is really a gift without Jesus. No love is really love without Jesus. This Christmas, share the hope of hope, which is Jesus our Lord, who has come, the spark of mankind. Father, lift us up into your presence. We know that we walk as little sparks because your Holy Spirit's within us. Help that spark to kindle a flame in this country, in this nation, in this world, this day, by sharing who is that spark. And Lord, teach us how to do that in everyday life, in every situation, that people might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and a hope that will transform them. And it's in the name of He who saved us, He who came, He for who Christmas is all about. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.